The Defense Department is creating a new commodity technology shared service provider. It will serve the Pentagon and other locations in the D.C. area. Now get this, DOD will issue a memo in the coming weeks to merge the Army's IT agency and other IT service providers into the Defense Information Systems Agency. And as my weekly feature inside the reporter's notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller has exclusive details on this new shared services setup. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so it sounds like the Army is giving up a piece to DISA and becoming just another tenant in the Pentagon.
Giving up? Well, I wouldn't say they're not going down without a fight. This goes back years and years and years, and this is why this is, I think, fascinating. And several people who I've talked to about this story have said this is impressive that this is finally happening. And let me tell you why. Because when the Pentagon was built back, you know, post-World War II, the Army really ran everything about the Pentagon. They provided so many of the services over the years that they really felt it was like the Army's Pentagon. But as things moved and changed and things got updated, the Army, obviously, you know, as it got bigger, thing gave up more of those services and became the Washington Headquarters Services as one example. So this IT agency, in many respects, according to my sources, tell me is that this was really their last bastion of power. They ran the commodity IT, the networks. So to get the Army to give it up, it is actually a huge feat. And what's happening is it's not just the Army, but it's two main offices that are being merged. The Office of Secretary of Defense actually had developed its own commodity IT service provider called its Enterprise Information Technology Service Division, EITSD. That and the Army ITA and possibly some other smaller IT service providers within the Pentagon itself. And we're talking about the building, the Pentagon, not the DOD, the Pentagon. So I want to be clear on that.
Five-sided place, whatever the word.
It's a pentagon.
It's a pentagon. So, gee whiz.
we'll stick with the name of the organization.
Pentagonal building.
There you go.
Fly over on the way to National Airport.
But we definitely don't want people to think this is all of DOD, because sometimes we use the Pentagon and DOD synonymously. So this is just the building and the offices in the National Capital Region are going to fall under this, what they call this DISA field service activity, or what they're calling internally the Pentagon Shared Service Provider. And they're going to provide basically the IT services that really are focused on what we are calling it commodity IT. And it's nothing that you'd be surprised about, video teleconferencing, network services, even some cyber operations. But the point is to bring it all under one place. That's a huge change for how this, again, the Pentagon building will work.
And so I guess you'd want to say that the people working in the Pentagon won't notice any difference. Is that the plan also?
That's the hope, right? They're coming together in this IT working group, and they've done a study. And they said, okay, what's the service levels? Well, that's what's going to happen on June 3rd. The memo is supposed to be signed out any day now. Over the next month, this working group will get together and decide what service level agreements, what levels of service are needed to make sure that they're matching what the Army IT Service Agency was doing, the EITSD was doing, and other service providers. So nobody notices a thing. But on the back end, that's where the big change is going to happen. Who runs it, how it's getting run, and obviously, getting rid of all the duplicative services that have grown up over the years.
And will the Army lose billets of people moving over to DISA, or will it just be a different set of people doing all this work?
Well, one of the keys to this and the reason why they're doing this is the cost savings and potential, because they're saying, okay, well, why are we doing so many of the same things over and over again when we should just have one? So actually, DOD estimates that moving to the shared services within, again, the Pentagon National Capital Region could save up to at least $144 million by 2020. And that's mainly by reducing about 125 full-time employees who, again, are running these duplicative technology infrastructure services. How it breaks down, whether it's all from Army ITA or all from EITSD or somewhere in between or DISA even, it's unclear right now. But supposedly they'll move around those 125 people. I don't think it'll be, you know, reduction in forces or layoffs. I think they're just going to depend on attrition and obviously moving people who are needed in other parts of the DOD mission areas.
All right. So, by the way, the Pentagon is fully modernized, right? I mean, the five wedges have long been redone with respect to the latest in IT, correct?
Well, is it ever done right, Tom? I mean, that's the question. Now, we know the Pentagon went through a huge modernization effort over the last, I would want to say in the 2000s and obviously post 9/11 and before that. What we do know is that they are constantly working on different new technologies. I remember talking to the head of the ITA about a year ago now, Greg Garcia, and we talked about, they talked about moving to VDI, Virtual Desktop Interface, and they talked about other things. So I think it's a never-ending effort.
All right, Jason, and we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. I wanted to ask you about something else, too, in this morning's edition of Inside the Reporter's Notebook, and that is cloud legislation. Looks like it's gaining steam, so to speak, no pun intended, under Tony Scott, the new federal CIO, and some other forces.
Absolutely right. Now, this idea of a cloud bill first really came up when the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee was writing the FITARA legislation, the Federal IT Reform Act, more than almost 2 years ago now. And while it did not get huge widespread support in the Senate back then, what we're seeing now is people are starting to open their ears up a little bit more to say, okay, maybe it is time to address cloud in law. And this is really being driven by Rich Beutel, who is the former Hill staffer, worked for the Oversight and Government Reform Committee for the last decade, and really was a major staff member effort behind the FITARA legislation. And he just retired at the end of the 113th Congress in December, and now he's on the private sector side, and he's actually, this is one of his passions. You know, whenever I talk to him about what's going on, this cloud legislative package comes up, and he says, listen, I think we got momentum. I think people are interested. And what he's saying is when he meets with people like Tony Scott, when he meets with people on the Hill, they are very receptive to this idea, and that gives him a lot of hope that maybe this is starting to gain some momentum.
And what would this legislation accomplish if they can get it through?
The legislation would do several things, but let me just offer two of the big points, and we should have a link to the draft bill that Rich wrote back, again, last Congress. There's no new bill in the Congress this year, but this is the old one on federalnewsradio.com. Basically, it would do two things. Number one, it would lay out how inspectors general, how law enforcement officials could access private sector cloud services when it comes to government data. And I think that's a key sticking point. There has to be a balance between law enforcement need and obviously privacy of the data and privacy of people's information. That's piece one. And that Rich Beutel has told me that could be controversial, but there's an understanding in both industry and government and law enforcement that something has to be addressed because this is an important piece of how cloud is set up. The second thing it would do, and this is, I think, key from what Rich Beutel was telling me, is it would create a working capital fund, a revolving fund, to help the transition to cloud computing. Because right now, Tom, as we've talked about many, many times, the budget process and the technology shifting and the technology implementation just doesn't work. The two-year budget cycle, by the time an agency many times buys the technology, they're buying older technology and not the newest and greatest because of the way the appropriation cycle works. What this bill would do is create this cloud fund, very similar to what DHS is doing with the Continuous Diagnostic and Mitigation Cybersecurity Program, a bucket of money that could be used to help agencies move to the cloud. And in Rich's eyes, he says, Rich Beutel says this should come from the Acquisition Services Fund, which, by the way, I know from FOIA, and it has over $1 billion in reserve. That's a story for another time, Tom, but let me just say there is money there potentially to set up this type of working capital fund, revolving fund.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes, and I wanted to ask you briefly, we're learning a little bit more about Tony Scott, apparently a man of history. He's a big fan of Marcus Vitruvius Pollio.
Very good, very good. Yes, he was a Roman who lived from 80 to 15 B.C., they think. You know, obviously, there's not tons of records from that then of people living and dying. And he was the first one to write a book or a series of books explaining the basic teachings of architecture. Before he wrote these books, architects handed down their craft and their expertise through kind of a mentor apprenticeship by word of mouth. But he came down and said, we're going to write these books down so everyone can learn. And why he is important, Vitruvius is important, because Tony Scott said to these 39 people who kicked off the IT Challenge, IT Solutions Challenge last Friday, that he wants those 39 people to be the Vitruvius of the federal government. Think large, come up with ideas that are sustainable and make sure people know about those ideas and make sure they work. So it's a very interesting connection he's making. And I think it was just the reason I wrote about it in my notebook is because the IT Solutions Challenge first got kicked off. And two, the connection is not one you normally hear about in the government, you know, Roman architecture and federal IT.
All right. So if those people become these apprentices, then I can see the T-shirt now, MVP. That stands for Marcus Vitruvius Pollio.
There you go.
It all kind of ties in together. Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much for that update.
My pleasure.